This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we have all kinds of stuff we have to get to. We'll get to this investors suing companies here. We'll get to that in just a minute. I want to get to a couple other things first. First and foremost, I want to talk about one of my favorite subjects, Dome, our Vice President, Kamala Harris. I find her to be fascinating, and this is why I find her to be fascinating, not just because she's fodder for great jokes, but because she's so devoid of any personality at all. We've had this talk before, and I find that to be so fascinating for a woman of that age. It's one thing if you're a teenager, and maybe you're a young teenager listening now, you're still developing your personality. It's still coming. You don't even really know totally who you are yet. It's still coming. You're acquiring these things. But a 57-year-old woman, I know tons of 57-year-old women, they're all put together, complete human beings. They know what they are. They know what they like because you've lived 57 years. You've lived 57 years on the earth. You know who the who's who and the what's what. Dome, for whatever reason, maybe it's just, maybe it was parenting. Maybe, I don't know what it is. There's nothing inside of her. Nothing. Listen. She's asked by a reporter the first thing she thinks about in the morning. This is a golden opportunity for anybody with even the tiniest amount of personality to answer in a way that is personable or funny. Or, I mean, if you ask me the first thing I think about in the morning, I might tell you Red Lobster. Honestly, it would probably be eggs. It would probably be, why is the dog in here? It would probably be something, right? Listen to what Dome says. Just imagine being this much of a shell of a person.
Here's how the vice president responded when asked what she thinks about when she wakes up in the morning.
Our democracy.
Our democracy. She's never thought about democracy once in her friggin' life. But hey, that's that. I don't want to make too much fun of her. We have to keep in mind she's the one who dropped this gem about community banks.
As the name suggests, community banks are in the community.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Dear beef and cheese connoisseur, I work for a utility company owned by a large company, Berkshire Hathaway. In our employee portal, you can mark yourself as non-binary and a member of the LGBTQ Air Force Plus. I've also debated joining the DEI team since I'm a racial minority. Is it a bad idea to check these boxes or try to infiltrate their groups? Asked me not to say his name, and I won't. He did give me a Buenas Tardes. Buenas Tardes back to you. Well, should you infiltrate their groups? What are we now? We talk about this all the time. What are we? You, me, what are we? Yes, we're anti-communists, but we're the rebels now. We're the guerrillas. We're the counterculture now. That's what we are. So do you think a guerrilla force, a rebel force, should infiltrate the enemy if he has the opportunity to do so? Yes! Oh my goodness, yes! They own the institutions. They own them in part because they infiltrated them and sabotaged them and ruined them. It is our turn to do the same. Infiltrate them, sabotage them, destroy their nefarious plans. Take them back over so they become ours. Oh my gosh, yes, infiltrate it. You can look. Maybe I just say that because being a spy comes natural to me. What, Chris? It's so natural to me to be covert. I'm such a covert person anyway. I live in the shadows, really. I live my life in the shadows. Jesse, I saw Marjorie Taylor Greene introduce an amendment recently to an FAA bill to allow any pilot who lost his job because he wouldn't get the shot to be reinstated. To my surprise, her amendment did not pass. I saw 83 rhinos voted against her amendment. I was sickened to see my own congressman on the list. This goes to what we were talking about earlier. We think that somehow we have this twisted view of how Republicans operated, especially during COVID, because Joe Biden got elected and came in and made everything worse and mandates and all that other stuff. We somehow have lied to ourselves now that Republicans were ever on our side. I could pull up audio bit after audio bit after audio bit of Republicans telling you, get vaccinated. You better go get vaccinated. Oh, sorry about your stroke. Over and over and over again. I'm wearing my mask. Don't worry. I'm vaccinated. I got my mask on, guys. Oh, 6 feet away. It wasn't just Democrats. Don't lie to yourself about that. We need to demand better from our own people, because when the going got tough, Republicans folded. They did. All of them did. Top to bottom. Well, almost all of them. That's not true. Almost every one of them did. They caved like the babies they are. So of course they voted against this. Republicans probably are still all for the mandate. NPR reports Yemeni terrorists are caught at the border, having come here via Brazil. Who paid airfare? What airline? Why no pressure on Brazil? He says, kind of wonder if that company selling vintage Volkswagens here from Brazil isn't some kind of front. Okay, first of all, you brought up the business front thing. I have this thing about me, and I know I get it from my father. I have this thing about drugs. Now, listen, no, I don't have a drug problem. Don't worry about that. But this is the thing. My dad, whenever my dad sees a nice car, he will oftentimes say, probably a drug dealer. Probably sells drugs. I don't know what that is. I don't know what it is about it, but that's what my dad says. Me, I don't do that with vehicles. I do that with shops that don't make any sense. Meaning the business model doesn't make any sense. It can't make money. You'll drive by these shops. You brought up auto shops. You'll drive by this auto repair shop for Volkswagens built from the year 1980 to 1990. Hold on. Wait, what? Step into our shop. We sell only air hoses and belts here. Hold on. You're telling me you pay yourself, you pay employees, you pay the rent on the building, you pay all these taxes, and you still have enough money left over to eat at the end of the day, and what you sell is air hoses out of that rundown little shop, and I'm calling garbage on that. Every time I see one of these rundown shops like that with some weird business model. Yeah, Chris said, why are there so many rug stores? Did you know this? Here's a true story for you. Did you know this? I will adjust. Well, I'm not even going to give locations or dates, but this was some time ago. You should know. Some time ago, there was a drug lord in a big city. No, it wasn't Houston, so it's not down where I live, but although I'm sure there's plenty of them here, but there was a drug lord in a big city. A big city you would know about, for sure. And what he did for a living, his front was, he sold furniture. He had a gigantic furniture store. Why? Because they delivered the, quote, furniture all over the city. His business model allowed him to import drugs, because think about all the imports you'd have for all the shipments you'd have arriving. And not only that, his business model allowed him to get everything delivered to people. He would, oh, here's your couch. This one's worth a lot. You might want to look in that cushion. It would allow him to distribute the drugs across the city. And here's the wildest part about this. This guy's long dead and gone, so don't worry about it. But the wildest part about this, he was never busted. It was widely known, but he was never busted. You know why he was never busted? The guy was the most, quote, pro-cop guy around. It was multiple times a year, cop fundraiser. If a cop was ever killed in the line of duty, God forbid, this guy, boom, steps up right away. He's helping the family with financial help and everything. This dude did so much for the cops and miraculously never ended up catching a case, as he just delivered vast quantities of drugs all over the area. Who knows how rich that guy was? Who knows how many people he probably killed along the way? I mean, I guess that's not funny. I don't know why I laughed. That's actually quite sad. Anyway, here's Joe Scarborough.
So maybe she's a little too progressive on crime issues for maybe my taste or your taste or the Rev's taste or something. I don't know. Maybe she is, but that's irrelevant. That's what she campaigned on, got 67%. What makes these people think that there's not going to be a Democrat or an independent in the future that fires people who are conservative because they don't like their politics?
No way. You mean the communists might start using politics to have people fired? Wow, can you imagine living in a world like that? Golly. All right. Let's talk about suing these companies and being litigious, Chris. Before we talk to that, let's do this. Let's talk about saving a life. One life. What if you were to dedicate $28 a month to save a life every month at preborn? You know what preborn does. You know by now. They are in the highest abortion areas in the country. They are giving women free ultrasounds, women who are seeking out an abortion. So this baby's about to die. And they find these women and they give them free ultrasounds. And when a woman gets an ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she chooses life. It's just how it works. Preborn costs them $28 to give that ultrasound. That's what your $28 does. What if you were to do that every month? Imagine saving a life a month. Just something to think about. Or maybe you just want to do it right now as a one-off. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. All tax deductible, all right? Sponsored by Preborn.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I have some good news for you before we get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, because the next one's about Civil War, and that's always nice and spicy, isn't it? But let's do this real quick. This is from Not the Bee. With billions lost, investors start suing woke companies for their DEI and ESG programs. And this one goes into a lot of it is its Target. Now, there's this guy, investor Brian Craig. He's the one who filed the lawsuit against Target. He said they claim the board misstated its oversight of social and political risks to the company. Why? Because Target hired a Satanist to create trans merchandise for kids. Moms found out about it, freaked out, boycotted Target, stock price dipped down, investors are suing. Sue. Chris just told me about Best Buy during the break. Best Buy's got some management program. Apparently, Whitey isn't allowed. If you're an employee, a white employee of Best Buy, sue now. Sue these companies into bankruptcy. We have to sue our way out of this. And I know that's kind of yucky because we traditionally don't like suing. And I like that we don't like suing, but it's time to start liking suing. Sue. They can't do this. Dear Japanese master of the yin and yang, smoke your brisket at 225. End of story. Okay. I mean, half the people said 225 and half of them said 180. Look, my brisket turned out fine. I got to be honest with you. I don't think I'm going to change anything next time because I liked it. It was outstanding. Two, if a true civil war were to break out in the United States during this decade, what would it look like? Can you paint the picture of how you believe it would likely start? Describe the various battle arenas, how it would likely end. Okay, well, here's what I see coming. This is if we're going to walk down that civil war road, and I don't think that a civil war is inevitable. I believe it is something that we can stop if we get aggressive and get involved now politically. But let's just say, let's say I'm wrong, and let's say it's something that's going to come. Here's how I would see it going, or why I would see it kicking off. You know how I talk about national divorce all the time. Not just that I want one. That's the personal side. It's happening. Whether you want it, like it, hate it, doesn't really matter. It's happening. It's happening because of how horrid the Democrats have become. They're all communists now, all of them. And therefore, the blue areas, which you could previously stomach living in, are just going to be uninhabitable because there's nothing holding them back. My buddy, Aaron McIntyre, really sharp guy I talk to a lot. In fact, he has a good show too. Aaron McIntyre, he called it, and I wished I'd thought of this, so I'm going to steal it and give him no credit for it. He called it the purity spiral. And here's what he meant. If you're a Democrat of any kind in the state of California and you propose something that's awful, right? You propose, hey, let's eliminate gas stations. That's something that's going to come eventually. Let's eliminate gas stations. Well, the guy next to you, he will not only sign on to what you just said. Yes, let's eliminate gas stations. He'll feel the need to take it a step further to prove himself a more pure communist than the guy who just wanted to eliminate the gas stations. No. Let's eliminate gas stations and send the National Guard into the oil companies. And you see, that's obviously an extreme exaggeration, but that's what they do on issue after issue after issue. You can never be communist enough. They're always trying to out-commie each other. And because there's no brake system now in the blue areas, New York, California, these places, they just keep going left and going left and going left. And they're shattering the standard of living in that place, making it, you know, previously you can live in California. You can live in California because so much of California is red. There are so many patriots who live there. You just got to kind of, okay, we'll tough out some higher taxes because California is friggin' paradise, right? We'll tough out some higher taxes. We'll just keep going. We'll just get by. Well, they're going to make it to where you can't do that anymore. They're going to make it to where it's not palatable. So you're going to move. Now, I'll get to how this is getting to civil war in a moment. I'm just walking us through this. So people are moving. We already see this. We know all the numbers. We've talked about it all the time on the show. People are voting with their feet. They don't want to live under these horrific policies. They can't afford to live under these things. They're moving. They're leaving. They're going to Texas, Idaho, the Carolinas, Florida. Everyone's going to Florida. They're going to Wyoming, Montana. They're leaving. They're out. Because they're leaving, the red states are going to get redder and the blue states are going to get bluer simply by subtraction. Even if the party wasn't getting in that purity spiral thing, as soon as you have Republicans leave and leave and leave, then there won't even be purple districts anymore eventually in these places. It'll just be all blue and as dark. And then you're going to want to be as commie as you can get to win the Democrat primary. So as California gets darker and darker and darker blue, the red areas will get redder and redder and redder. And they will be more anti-communist as they get redder. As we get more active, as we get more involved, we will start ramping up what we want. We will begin to make demands. And that brings me to one of the things, well, one of the major things that I think is going to actually kick this thing off. And I, if it happens, let's remember, we want to pray it doesn't happen. But if it happens, I'll just lay out how a theory of mine on how I think it's going to go. All right. That, all kinds more Ask Dr. Jesse questions. We have all kinds of stuff to get to today on the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's get to this first, though. Let's take care of our dogs. We have to take care of our dogs. We want them to live longer, and we want them not to go to the vet as much, because the vet is freaking expensive, is it not? And it's just sad. At the end of their lives, as they break down and they spend the last few years just a shell of their former selves, it's very sad. I have always hated that part of owning a dog. I've always hated that part. I love rough greens. Veterinarians love rough greens because it not only gives my dog more years, it gives him better years. Instead of having Fred for 11 years with the last two being pretty friggin' miserable, I'm going to get him for 14 with the last 6 months maybe being bad because I'm giving him real nutrition, natural nutritional supplement I'm pouring on his food. You have to go to roughgreens.com/Jesse for a free trial bag. Roughgreens.com/Jesse or call 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yes, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. We're only halfway through the Jesse Kelly Show, so put a smile on your face on a Friday. And remember, you can download the show. They podcast it. iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. On iTunes, don't forget to leave a 5-star rating and a review talking about how handsome I am, by the way. iHeart Radio app is free. Now back to the question. The guy was asking about if a civil war was to break out here in the future, how would I see it working? Well, I already went over, we are already separating. We are. People are getting out of the blue areas. They're getting to red areas. They're going to make the red areas redder. That's going to make the blue areas bluer. So there's this divide. Well, this is where the problem is going to arise. The communist, he doesn't do live and let live. It is an all-encompassing religion of destruction and domination. We've used this example before, but it is so applicable. If you were in a war for 100 islands with a communist, and at the end of the war, you had 99 of them, and the war's over, he had one left, you'd feel pretty freaking good about yourself, right? Nice. Talk about domination. Look at all my islands. Nice. If the communist won 99 islands, and at the end of the war, you had one left, he wouldn't even sleep well that night. He would look out, and all that would consume his mind would be that island that he doesn't have. I need them all. I have to ruin everything. That's how the communist feels. So as we separate, the communist is not going to look at the red areas and say to himself, man, whoo, that is really red. I should probably, hands off, let's let them have their thing. They can just do what they want in Texas. I'm going to do what I want over here in Colorado. I'll let them be them and I'll be me. Communist doesn't live like that. He doesn't think like that at all. As the red states get redder, they're going to start taking the appropriate actions when it comes to dealing with federal law enforcement. And let me be clear about that. The appropriate actions a state should take now when dealing with federal law enforcement is don't. That's the action you should take. The AG in your state police agency, they should be setting themselves up to stand in between the FBI and the citizens of that state. I know that's an ugly place to be, but so is having a secret police that guns down 75-year-olds with canes. So's having a secret police agency. That's a bad place to be. So, here's what, this is my fear, and this is just a theory, but this is my fear, because this is not what I want. This is an awful state of affairs. Let's say these red states start to form coalitions, which they will. They'll form economic coalitions. They're already starting to do that. Hey, we won't work with this company because of ESG. We won't do this. Hey, we're kicking this out of this state. They'll begin working with each other, and these red states are going to start blocking the federal government from things the federal government wants to do. FBI wants to come knock on your door, kick in your door because they didn't like your Facebook post, maybe gun you down too. The state police steps up and says, no, you can't do that. In fact, we're going to start removing FBI field offices from our state, and FBI agents will be arrested if they come into our state to infringe on the rights of our citizens. That's where this is going. That's why keep in mind as I go over all this, this is why I've warned 1,000 times that the FBI will end America. It will. If it is not reined in, it will end America because it's going to cause a civil war. So the federal government, when they're faced with that scenario that I just laid out, hey, we want to send 50 armed feds over to this house of this pastor. I heard he was pro-life and preaching that marriage is between a man and a woman. Send in the goon squad. And let's say the local sheriff, state police say, no, you're actually not going to touch that pastor. He didn't break the law. He's well within his rights. This is America. Well, now you have a dangerous situation, an extremely dangerous situation. And this is where the situation went bad the last time we had a civil war. The situation is this. The federal government in that moment, we'll call it the FBI, but it's really the entirety of the federal government in that moment. They should back down, back away. But governments historically can't make themselves do that. When their power is challenged, they don't back away, especially communists who want to dominate everything. When their power is challenged, they go all in. You know, if you're hungry and you want to challenge Soviet communism and you don't like it, well, guess what you're going to get? Soviet freaking tanks on your streets. The Soviets didn't throw up their hands and say, ah, you're good. I guess we pushed it too far. You challenged them. Now it's on. I believe that will be the moment that will kick it off. I believe it will set up a horrific, ugly situation in this country between probably a local sheriff, a patriotic sheriff who will start deputizing the people around him, and then the federal government. And then think about what happens in that scenario. Let's say you got 100 citizens, 100 armed civilians there with the sheriff. Let's say you got 100 FBI guys there. Well, you've got a tense situation with firearms. It's a standoff. Already it's a dangerous situation. Now, I want you to picture this. One guy loses his cool. Maybe he's in the FBI. Maybe he's civilians. One guy cooks off around when he shouldn't. Then it's on. Then what happens when that fight's over and there are 10 civilians dead, killed by the FBI? Now it's on. I believe these this war, and by the way, this is a pie in the sky thing. I really hope this doesn't happen, and I don't think it will. I think we can avoid this. But this war would be conducted between the cities and the rural areas. So let's say Texas is involved in this whole thing, and the feds were involved and whatnot. They would set up shop in places like Houston, where they're going to be safe hubs for the federal government to come in. The hinterlands, they'll belong to the people on the right. Then they fight it out. Now, there's a million and one ways that could be wrong, that long theory I just gave you. But that's how I would see it going, and that's what I could see sparking it. And that comes back to what I've talked about a lot. Like, we talk about this Merrick Garland special counsel.
I'm here today to announce the appointment of David Weiss as a special counsel, consistent with the Department of Justice regulations governing such matters.
David Weiss has been part of the DOJ cover-up for Hunter Biden the whole time, including, according to the IRS whistleblower, covering up for Hunter Biden's tax crimes. David Weiss is the one. He's the one who tried to get Hunter that sweetheart deal that the judge shot down that was going to give him blanket immunity for everything ever. That's David Weiss. The federal government is so unconcerned with earning back trust or anything like that, they took the biggest hack in the DOJ and made him the, quote, special counsel in charge of investigating Hunter Biden. These people, these sick, corrupt communists that run our government, they don't know how and when to quit. They don't know how and when to stop, when to back off. I've been warning over and over again, they're creating a dangerous situation in this country where people feel the government is outright hostile to them. And that situation is bad. This is an ugly place to be. But it's just naked corruption now. That's what I talk about all the time. They're not even coy about it. They're not hiding anything. They could have appointed anybody to be that special counsel. Instead, they pick the one guy we know's been running cover for Hunter Biden. That's just in your face. That's not giving you the middle finger. That's walking right up to you and giving you the middle finger an inch from your nose. What are you going to do about it? That's what they're doing now. It's creating a really ugly situation in this country. It sucks, man. It sucks. Best-selling author. My previous attempt at Rye Witt feel flat. I think she meant fell flat. So here's a straightforward inquiry. How did the lovable dog Fred get his name? You know, why does everybody love Fred? The wife sent out a picture yesterday of the boys. The boys were working out, and of course that idiot dog was all over the boys. And she sent it out to the family, and the whole family was just like, oh, Fred, I miss him. Fred, the dog's an idiot. All right. How did he get his name? The boys named him that. Who else would name a dog Fred? No one names a dog Fred. But when you let the boys name their dog, you end up with a friggin' dog named Fred. All right, enough. Time to talk about wearing socks to bed, getting the best deal on a car, shooting guns with your kids, more FBI talk. All that's still to come on the world famous Jesse Kelly show. But before we get to that, let's get to your testosterone levels. Guys, that water, that bottle of water beside you, there's not only estrogen in the plastics, there's estrogen in the water. That's because so many women are on birth control, and when they clean up the waste and turn it back into drinking water, they clean out everything except the freaking hormones in there. You're drinking estrogen. 50% testosterone drop in 50 years. That's society ending. You need natural herbal supplements. Fight back. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. That's what Chalk can do for you. Let me also mention the Chalk Lit Powder. Start your day off by pouring Chalk Lit Powder in something. Oh, we do it in smoothies. You could do it in a glass of milk. It's delicious. Whatever you want to do, get your day started with vitamins and minerals, all right? CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. That gets you 35% off subscriptions. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Let's deal with this right now. Pitmaster. What age did you... I am the pitmaster now. What, Chris? I am. What age did you start shooting guns with your boys? My dime and I are not on the same page here. She's a recovering liberal who still has negative feelings towards guns, unlike myself, who was popping squirrels at 10. Both my kids are girls and I don't hunt anymore, but I want to get them comfortable at an early age. What age is appropriate? Obviously, each kid's a little different maturity-wise, but I feel 10-ish is okay. And how do I get my wife to be okay with it? Well, weapon safety began for me with my kids when they were, I would say, 6 or 7. No, they weren't shooting yet, although they could be. They could. I'm not against that if your kids are ready for that. But at 6 or 7, I'm not telling you I did it right, but this is how I approached it with my sons, who are now very comfortable with weapons and can hit what they aim at. So this is how I approached it with my sons. One, obviously, owning a weapon comes with responsibility, extreme responsibility. And I will not have my weapons locked away in my home. Why? Because I need to kill people with them if they break into my house. And I can't unlock something and then kill you. I might not have time. So I need to be ready to kill you if you come to my house. So my weapons are out. Now, we didn't leave them out like low where a 2-year-old could grab them. But once my kids got to a certain age, 6, 7 years old, I wanted them even more accessible to me. So what I started to do was make sure my sons knew anytime they wanted, they could hold a gun, no matter what the gun was. It is a stated rule to this day in my house. The answer is never no. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. Dad, can I touch the 300 blackout? Can I hold it? Yep. Answer's yes. Boop. Dad, can I touch the SIG? Yep. Absolutely. The Glock, whatever. Do it. Now, here's how I handle that. I take the weapon. Obviously, I unload it. I check it. I make them check it. And then I sit there and monitor them with it and teach them how to hold it, how, their stance and stuff like that. What that did for my kids was it killed the curiosity. It didn't make them these forbidden things that entices them. You know, we love forbidden things. We love it. Kill that. Kill the forbiddenness of it. It's not forbidden. Touch my weapons. Touch my dad's guns anytime. So I don't need to go touch him now when he's gone. End up shooting myself. Also, this is something that may be difficult for many people who aren't sociopaths like me, but this is something I believe in, all right? I have always been very, very frank and detailed, probably to a level that would horrify you, with my sons when it comes to things that involve their safety. I didn't tell my sons, hey, don't talk to strangers. I told my sons, if you approach that stranger who's holding a puppy out the window in the car, he's going to grab you and throw you in the trunk, and he's going to keep you in a dungeon the rest of your life before he chops you up into little pieces, and it's going to hurt. Now, you tell your son not to go to that car, he might say, oh, okay. You explain to him that he's going to be chopped into mincemeat. You have his attention now. When I give them weapons, I let them know. I tell them, I'll flat out tell them, to this day, I'll tell them, do you feel like burying your brother? How do you think it would feel to speak at your brother's funeral because you shot him in the head? And you can see they're awake. They're paying attention. And I tell them, those are the stakes of this weapon. That's what's at play here. You will be safe or you will bury your brother. Keep that in mind. And they're safe. It gets the point home. If you think that's a lot, maybe you're right, but it worked. Now, as to your wife and the age goes, it sounds to me if they're 10-ish, they're already ready. What you need to do is you need to get your wife ready too. That's the thing. She's not going to be, you're not going to be able to separate her from it because she'll never be comfortable with it. Gun comfort with guns, there's only one place it's found, familiarity. I went through it with my wife who had no gun experience whatsoever when we met. But I wouldn't give any of mine up, so I figured I'd just let her know. I'm not giving them up, so there's only one other course of action here. You better learn to be comfortable with them. And I remember when I'd pull them out and I'd have one, I'd be cleaning one, or I'd just have it sitting on the table getting ready to clean it. It would make her nervous because people who aren't familiar with them don't understand. That's not just going to get up and start shooting. They don't know. Here's what you need to do. You need to get a Mantis X. Hear me out on this. Get a weapon, I know you already have one, and get a Mantis X for it. That will allow your wife and your daughters to get comfortable with the weight. It will allow them to get comfortable pulling the trigger. There's no loud bang. When I started taking my wife to the range, that's what really, that bothered her at first. It was the noise. It is so loud when you're not used to it. With Mantis X, you're dry fire practicing in the comfort of your home. Mantis X. Mantis X. If you're trying to break in a new shooter or new shooters, or you're super experienced, obviously that applies to you too, Mantis X is a great way to do it. I discovered early on, you need to lower the caliber with your weapon, with a woman for sure. Don't take her and have her shoot a 357 the first time like I did. How about a 22? You know, something smaller. But you need to get your wife comfortable with it. And it sounds like as a recovering lib, that'll be more difficult. But when you tell her it's dry fire practicing, you're not firing a shot, that can get her real comfortable real fast. Her and your kids. Plus, when you're using it, weapons empty, which you've confirmed 1,000 times, you can make sure you're monitoring closely if your daughters and your wife are safe, are being safe. MantisX.com, all right? Go get it. MantisX.com. Now, I have one other word of caution for the ladies, new female shooters out there, and for really this, actually this applies to men too, but I'm just talking about a personal experience of mine here. Ladies, when they go to the range, tend to wear tank tops time to time. And nobody's complaining about that, but I'm just saying they tend to wear tank tops or those kind of V-neck t-shirts, all right? That's fine. But you need to be aware of something, new shooters and people teaching new shooters. The brass that pops out of the weapon after you fire the round, it's hot. As somebody who's had one go down his back with a flak jacket on, let me tell you, it's real hot. I've been burned by all kinds of brass. Got burned gopher hunting with my buddies when I was a kid. That hot brass gets down your shirt. It's hot. Here's something that can happen unless you have warned someone ahead of time and you're monitoring it. Here's something that I've seen happen with my own eyes. You're at the range. You're firing your weapon. Hot brass pops off the wall, goes back down her shirt. She has a weapon still loaded. She's burning. She turns around with the weapon. I'm burning. It creates a potentially life-threatening situation. Something you need to discuss with your wife, daughters. Be aware. I don't care if you're on fire. Set the weapon down first. Then we'll deal with the shirt. Set the weapon down first. All right? All right. Crap, I didn't get to much there. I have so much more next hour. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.